Have you ever preached a sermon that you were sure was fire, only to look out and to see that your people were giving you that blank stare like you just read the phone book?
Bruce, I call that the pastor's nightmare. You think you're breaking heaven wide open, but Sister Johnson's nodding off, the teens are on TikTok, and the ushers are checking their scores on the phone.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the truth. Sometimes, you know, it's not the text that we mishandle. It's the audience we can fail to exegete.
Guilty as charged. But today, we're going to dive into how preaching can truly form Christ in people, not just inform minds. And we're going to unpack four indispensable qualities of preaching that transform audiences and honor the Spirit's work. And it's all right here, right now, and only, hey, wake up over there, on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're on another episode of preaching, and boy, that's something I know that excites me. I love preaching. I love the ministry of preaching. I love the preparation for preaching. But we're glad to be with you today on the Five Gifts Podcast. It's been a great week for us. My wife and I got to see a wonderful women's conference come together. My wife is women's ministry director in our district, and we pulled off just an incredible few days of ministry to women from all over North Carolina. I was excited to see what the Lord was doing there. Charles, I hope you've had a great week.
Yeah, had a pretty good week. No complaints on my end over here. I will tell you, I'm a little downhearted and in my feels this morning. The Panthers, Carolina Panthers, returned to that predictable, consistent form that we've all grown accustomed to. What a horrible, embarrassing loss. Not a great day to be a Panthers fan today. But we know that the Lord is still on the throne, and He still reigns. And so our hope and our confidence is in Him. Thankfully, not in the Carolina Panthers. But with all that it's going to be a great episode today.
There are a lot of NFL surprises yesterday. There's just some things that I just didn't think were even remotely possible, but they certainly happened. Yeah. But it's great to continue a theme we began last week on preaching. You know, we believe that preaching is one of God's primary tools for spiritual formation. And certainly small groups matter, counseling matters, mentoring matters, but Spirit-anointed preaching, that really is the hammer and chisel the Holy Spirit often uses to shape hearts. Don't you think that's true, Charles?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And, you know, our focus on the podcast is the five gifts. So here's where those gifts help us. Apostolic leaders keep the mission clear. Prophetic leadership keeps us aligned with God's voice. Evangelists remind us the gospel must connect to real people. And pastors ensure that the sheep are fed. And finally, teachers anchor it, all of it, in truth.
So the question is, how do we keep preaching that doesn't just sound good, but actually transforms lives? So the content we're working from suggests about four indispensable qualities when it comes to a preaching that works when it comes to spiritual formation. So those qualities are, it must be Bible-based, must be energized and anointed by the Spirit. It must call for a verdict. We'd say that's verdict demanding quality. And it's audience connected. So Charles, start walking us through those.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through these four steps along the way. Bruce is going to make you laugh. I'm going to make you cry. Hopefully, we're going to offer some practical solutions and maybe even make you a little bit uncomfortable. But you know, that's what good preaching always does. It brings us out of our comfort zone. So let's start off talking about how preaching is Bible-based. Bruce, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think when we say Bible-based, I think automatically people think of expository. And certainly, I'm just thinking the last few weeks, we've lost some real giants when it comes to expository preaching. John MacArthur, a few weeks ago, and Valdi Bakum, who just passed away. Certainly expositors that I've gleaned from over the years. And yes, expository preaching is something that I love, and it is a method of preaching that certainly contextualizes the sermon squarely in Scripture. But let's be clear. Bible-based means everything under the functional authority of Scripture. So we're talking about a quality that certainly applies to expository preaching, but it should also apply to topical preaching, to narrative preaching. Anytime preaching that stays within that conviction that the message is under the functional authority of the Word of God. So the style or the structure of the sermon, I mean, really, all of that yields to that functional authority that we find in Scripture.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So what I think I'm hearing you say, Bruce, is it's not our pet themes. It's not our latest leadership book. Not even the pressure of culture. Everything comes down to Scripture.
Yeah, so whether I'm expounding on a specific verse or discussing a particular topic or telling a story, every word that you and I say from the pulpit has to be rooted in Scripture. It's exactly what the Bible says. It's what the Bible emphasizes and aims to achieve, that the Word of God is the ultimate authority. So that means in our sermons that we have to give carefully crafted messages that are guided, rooted, centered in Scripture. The Bible is a guiding standard for us. You know what's not the guiding standard? Our tradition, our theological system, our personal favorite topic, or maybe the current climate of society around us. And the Bible's not just a filter to remove false teaching. It is the programmer. It is the guide that's in charge. So the standard isn't just a good sermon. We want to present God in the sermon, His Word, His truth. And really, Genesis to Revelation, it's about becoming like Him. So if God's standard is Himself, Charles, how in the world can we measure up to that?
Well, Bruce, here's the good news. God doesn't just set the standard. He provides the power by the Spirit's anointing. I think we need to do a whole episode on Spirit-anointed preaching.
I agree. I think preaching without the Spirit is kind of like flying a plane, but with no lift and thrust, you know, where you're going nowhere. Transformation is not going to happen without Spirit-anointed preaching. I know some sermons like that, they've got polish and eloquence, but there's no power.
You must have been on my website lately listening to my latest offerings. Sorry about that. Well, look, here's the value of the prophetic gift. It stirs spiritual sensitivity. It stirs hunger, action. Look, unless the Spirit speaks, we're just giving some kind of a lecture. So prophetic leadership and preaching begins with prayer. But how does it translate to the platform? Well, often the New Testament uses picture language to describe the experience. Spirit-filled. What will you feel like? What will you look like if you're Spirit-filled? The New Testament uses this picture word for full, really in three different ways. So sometimes it seems to refer to the inner sense of the Spirit's presence, as in filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Preachers walk onto the platform and preach with the Spirit's joy, with the Spirit's conviction and passion. Second would be, sometimes the Bible seems to indicate a relationship more than a feeling. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is in full charge of a relationship, you could say the person is filled with the Spirit. Preachers sometimes will also model a yieldedness to the Spirit, where we're fully at the disposal of the Spirit. But by far the most common use of this word picture is to point to the outcome. The evidence of a Spirit-filled life called fruit or gifts. So preaching in the Spirit's power is life-giving. It has the evidence of life change in its hearers. So earlier, you know, we referenced the picture of a plane with no lift or no thrust. I also find the analogy of a sailboat helpful. Think about a clipper skimming across the water, its sails filled with the breeze. It's a beautiful sight, but then all of a sudden a stiff wind comes from the west and whoosh, Those are, thank you, you're welcome for the sound effects there. Those sails, which are already filled, are become really filled. And so with the Spirit, he may be steady state in charge of the preacher's life and ministry. But then there comes a special need, a special opportunity. Then comes the time to enter the pulpit. He's been on his knees. He's pleaded the wind of the Spirit to blow. And that day, there's Spirit-filled preaching. If spiritual formation is ever to take place through preaching, I believe that will be the day. And so here's the bottom line. Bible-based preaching gives us truth, but Spirit-energized preaching makes it living truth. So, Bruce, how can we as preachers help make the shift from informational learning into transformed learning?
Yeah, I think that's the key, isn't it? How can we get from just the things we're gleaning in our studies, our prayer time? How does that translate into preaching that's actually changing lives? And so I think one of the keys is preaching messages that demand a verdict. So this one gets me fired up. Preaching, I've heard some really good preachers who fall short a little bit when it comes to preaching. They're eloquent, they're fascinating, they tell tremendous stories. You just feel enriched by the information they're dishing out. But preaching has got to be more than a TED Talk. It needs to be clear, it needs to be inspiring, but it's not just for those. It's to be transforming. So if it's going to be inspiring, if it's going to be clear, then let it be clear for the purpose of transforming lives. Spiritual formation is about change, and change takes place when different choices are made. So if we want to help people grow spiritually in my sermons, then I need to have a clear message. This is different from the first two principles we've talked about. It's not just solid in Bible teaching, and it's not only filled with the Spirit's power. It really calls people to make clear choices. And that's where lots of people think there is a difference in teaching and preaching. Like some people, you may have heard this, the expression before, that teaching is aimed at the mind and preaching is at the heart, or maybe teaching informs and preaching transforms. I got to be honest, I've encountered a lot of transformational teaching and I've experienced a lot of informational preaching. I don't like those distinctions. I don't think a real teaching gift only informs, and I don't believe authentic preaching should be weak on solid biblical content. I think both have the goal of forming Christ in our listeners. So no matter your style or your gifting, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to use you in forming people that are built by the Holy Spirit. And I think the way to do that is to present the gospel in a clear way that demands a clear choice, or what we might call a verdict. Now, Jeffrey Arthur, he's a pastor. He's also the professor of preaching and communication at Gordon-Conwell at the Massachusetts campus in South Hamilton. He says that no one ever goes fishing with a slick line. In other words, our goal is not merely to bring a message that is catchy and entertaining. If our goal is to entertain people, preachers are never going to be as entertaining as entertainers. They're never going to excel in that goal as entertainers do. They're never going to entertain like a Van Halen concert. And so our goal can't just also be to provide biblical information. I've got software on my computer that can give information clearer and more accurate than I can in the pulpit. But what those two things cannot do that preaching can do, and that is change lives for eternity. So if the audience leaves stirred and more biblically literate but unchanged, I think there's a problem. I think that's showing the lack of spiritual formation. We talk about spiritual formation, we're talking about change, and again, that change has to happen through choices. So preaching that demands a verdict, preaching that calls for a response, is crucial when it comes to spiritual formation. I like to think about how the Apostle Paul might describe this when it comes to preaching. And it's his passage in Romans 12, where he says, be transformed by what? It's the renewing of your mind. Well, that's a verdict. Renew your mind. Reformat your mental programming until it looks more like Christ. until more and more of what we display is an accurate depiction of God's image in us. It's and Paul describes that in verse 2, is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how does that happen? What does Paul say? He says sacrifice. He says make yourself this grand presentation to God. Make yourself a living sacrifice. And that's what it means to demand a verdict, to make a change. And so change comes by the Spirit's power when the right choices are made. So preaching must be verdict demanding if spiritual formation is going to occur. So if you're preaching on prayer, my goodness, call for practical, specific choices regarding prayer. If you're preaching on forgiveness, challenge your listeners to forgive those who have hurt them. If you're preaching on unity and reconciliation, then call for your listeners with urgency to humble themselves and take decisive action. Never be afraid of that in the pulpit. Charles, just the other week, I had started a new series on prayer in our church, and yeah, I honestly feel like it's the direction of the Lord, but it was a little frustrating because I was writing a series on Colossians. We just started chapter 2, getting to some really exciting parts in Colossians, and I just felt a check from the Holy Spirit that says I need to spend a few weeks cultivating hunger and thirst for prayer and to really put together some calls to action in our church when it comes to corporate prayer. And so I was thinking, Lord, I just preached on this back at the beginning of the year. Why do you want me to do that again now? But I began, faithful to do that. And yesterday I had a lady come up in the service after the service, and she was in tears. I could tell the Holy Spirit had really done something in her heart. And the truth is that she's one of my leaders. I mean, she's someone that I trust, that she listens to the Holy Spirit, and that she's very sensitive to the voice of God. And she's the kind of person you love preaching to. But she confessed to me. She said, Pastor, when you were starting a series on prayer and taking a break from Colossians, I kind of dreaded it because it just seems like I've been hearing so much on prayer. You've been preaching so much on prayer over the years. And it just feels like we're not seeing the kind of movement that I want to see in our church. And she said, but when you were preaching that message today, she said, I needed to hear that message. And so she was giving evidence of what I was seeing in her life. There was just this responsiveness to the Holy Spirit. Well, think about preaching and how, Charles, you talked about the anointing of the Spirit and how it brings people into that place of sensing the presence of the Spirit to help with change and transformation and to forward, people into God's agenda, the lift and the thrust that comes with preaching. It would just encourage me because, if we will be faithful, the Holy Spirit will show up. But sometimes we drop the ball when we don't give people a clear decision, a clear path, a clear application. And so I can't stress that enough. We need to be driven toward a verdict demanding focus when it comes to our preaching. Give people some application. Give them some clear, decisive choices to make. Okay, Charles, so how do we make sure that those verdicts actually land with real people in the pews and not just our outlines? I mean, I think the title of this episode is actually, how do we exegete our audience?
Well, a great way to do that is making sure our preaching is audience connected. We want to be audience connected. So really, we've kind of come full circle. We're back to where we started, exegeting the audience. You can preach a seminary-worthy sermon, but if you're not connecting with your people, spiritual formation just doesn't happen. So here's where the pastoral and prophetic gifts really work together. Pastors shepherd the people they know, and prophets speak into the lives and issues those people are facing. So, look, you can't do either without asking the right questions and listening. And so here's some good questions that we can ask. What are people struggling with? There's a great idea that we would actually speak to to the struggle that people are facing? What are people struggling with? Another question, what level of spiritual maturity am I dealing with? What are their theological gaps in their understanding and in their spiritual formation? What part of God's vision isn't being lived out yet? So let's just try to get extremely practical here. We need to ask the question, who's in the room? Who's in the room? And as we come to those, as we begin to identify who is it that's sitting in the room, then we can begin to tailor our delivery to their reality. Look, it's not, preaching is not a one size fits all. Think about the congregants acrostic, if you will. You've got cynics, you've got the overwhelmed people, new believers, the grieving, retirees, eager evangelists, gullible followers, apathetic listeners, non-Christians, transgressors. You've got singles, and each group needs a slightly different approach.
You know, Charles, as you say that, it reminds me, the Apostle Paul didn't just know the gospel. He knew his audience. He knew Athens, which was a completely foreign place to him. But he knew their poets. He knew their idols. He knew the questions people were asking. And that really is evangelistic and teaching leadership in action.
Absolutely. And what that means is we have to do the work as well. So here's a few questions we can ask. Number one, what are the felt needs in my city? Second, what pressures are people facing at school or in their jobs, at work? And finally, what are the dominant cultural narratives shaping how they think?
Those are important questions I think we need to consider. I'm sure our listeners will probably think of others, you know, what it takes to get into the mind of your audience and your potential audience every Sunday. And that's important because that can shape our communication styles and our sermon structure. Some audiences are going to respond to conceptual preaching. Some are going to be more logical in their thought. Some are going to look for points. What's the point of this message? Now, I found that note takers want to know what the point is. Some are really into the argument. I don't mean getting angry with one another, but just the reasoning that comes with Scripture. Where others might need something more relational, more story-driven preaching, and still others are more intuitive thinkers. They respond best when the message is more poetic or mysterious, even experiential.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bruce, I recently came across a great picture of what we're talking about here. It's a noted Indian evangelist. His name is Sundar Singh. Offered a compelling illustration of the need to exegete one's audience. And so in a period of ineffective communication of the gospel in colonial India, Singh had supernaturally encountered Christ, and he began to travel throughout India preaching as a Christian holy man. In addressing missionaries, Singh told of a high caste Hindu traveling by train in the heat of the summer. Someone recognized that the heat was about to overcome this man, so they brought him a cup of water to revive him. And despite his condition, the man rejected the water because the cup belonged to a person of another caste. Then discovering that the man had his own cup in the seat beside him, they rushed back to the faucet, they filled his cup and offered it to him. This time he received it with gratitude. Then Singh said this. He said, "Look, this is what I've been trying to tell you missionaries from abroad. You've been offering the water of life to the people of India in a foreign cup, and we've been unwilling to receive it. If you offer it in our own cup, we are much more likely to accept it." So here's the prophetic principle. The gospel never changes, but the cup does. The living water is eternal, but the cup should look familiar enough that they're willing to drink from it.
Well, that's an impactful story, Charles, and certainly wisdom for us as we think about how we connect with our audience. You know, connection a lot of times is the missing step when it comes to spiritual formation. The content can be great. The anointing can be great. But man, if you're not reaching the people that you're wanting to preach to, then so much of the wonderful message of the gospel gets lost. And I'm reminded the parable that Jesus shared about you don't cast your pearls before swine. There's a lot of insight, you know, into a story like that. And sometimes the swine are not the unclean. Sometimes the swine are the wrong audience, and we need to be careful that we're prepared, not only in our study time to know what the Word of God is. And my gosh, I'm as guilty of this as anybody. I can get really nerdy and wonky when it comes to understanding a particular passage, but really, man, really fail to fill the room with relevant teaching that applies to my listeners. Charles, what will be your takeaway from today?
Well, I really enjoyed the part about being audience connected. I'm like you. I enjoy the study. I enjoy the exegesis of Scripture, learning and mining out those nuggets and gems. But something I've really had to work on over the years is now, how am I going to take my learning and communicate that in a way that the audience, the congregation, can connect to it? Because the stark truth is this: as great as my study time was, and as energizing and as life-giving as that was for me, the people I'm speaking to, they weren't in my office, or they weren't in the room with me during my study time, so they've not gone on that journey. I've said it before, we have to serve the meal, and they're here for the meal, and so I've got to present the meal in a way that's appetizing, and that is that's compelling for them to consume it, and a way to do that is certainly to be audience connected.
Yeah, that was some great insight, and I love the story you shared from the Indian evangelist. What have we seen today in our episode? I think we've seen the qualities of preaching that are really important when it comes to spiritual formation. And so if you take our episode from last week and this week, and you're going to find that those are going to be compiled into a playlist, we want to build a preaching playlist for you, maybe that you can review, that you can share with your listeners, to review these qualities, these episodes, when it comes to how we connect with our audience, how we do things like build personal credibility and connect in relevant ways. So today we've seen that preaching has to be Bible-based, Spirit-energized, verdict-demanding, and most certainly audience-connected.
Yeah, and then to kind of tie it back to our fivefold emphasis here on the podcast, apostles keep mission in view, prophets keep us spirit-sensitive and empowered, evangelists call for a verdict, pastors keep it personal, and teachers always ground it in truth.
Yeah. And to our listeners, who are many of you are preachers, and if you want to grow in preaching that truly forms Christ in people, don't do it alone. We have resources and coaching at our websites. You can reach Charles at charlesrussellministries.com, charlesrusselltraining.com, and my website at coachingcardia.com. And we love to spend time helping pastors reflect and get better at sharpening themselves when it comes to their preaching ministry. And we'd love to talk with you.
Absolutely. And then don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. Join us on YouTube for more content. Share this with a preacher who needs encouragement, or maybe even a holy push or a holy nudge, if you will. And look, next time you preach, remember, don't just fill the time, fill the cup with living water. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.